Heavenly Father, bless our worship this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. It seems like only a few years ago that little boys and girls were entering first grade. As each year passed, they heard the question, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" The answer seemed to change every year. It wasn't long before they were asking the same questions of themselves. What do I want to be? A mother, a father, a teacher, a preacher, a police officer, a paramedic, a doctor, a lawyer, a soldier, a pilot, and so forth. With their mind's eyes, they looked into the future and saw adventures and treasures, success and fame, power and glory. As graduation drew near, their futures seemed more certain. Their minds were made up. The next step in their education or training or career was close. The adventure of life was at hand. Then, the world shut down. Colleges and universities closed. Businesses shut their doors. Stay home. Don't go anywhere. Now what? The future that they saw was becoming a very misty vision. It was not so clear, not so near. The visions of adventures and treasures, success and fame, power and glory, drifted away like the clouds floating off into the unknown. They sat at home and said, "Now what? I had everything planned out, but it's all slipping away from me." Have I been talking about you, dear graduates of Emmanuel? Is the uncertainty of your future troubling your minds? Well, guess what? There is no uncertainty. The mist of earthly matters has blown away, and now we see God. He is not socially distancing. He is not obscuring his face with a mask. He is not staying at home. He is right where you are and where I am. His facial countenance shines with a smile. And this is what he says to you. Listen to his words. "I know the thoughts that I am thinking toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." I know that you students are thinking about one another, but God's words indicate that he is not just thinking about you, he is directing his thoughts toward you. Actually, the Hebrew says that he is thinking his thoughts upon you. His thoughts do not remain in his mind. Just like his word, even so his thoughts have the innate power to accomplish what he is thinking. And what is he thinking? Thoughts of peace and not of evil. The things that are going on in our world seem evil. Sickness, death, shutdown of businesses, loss of jobs, bankruptcy, closing of schools and colleges, domestic violence, suicide, and we could go on. Yet God says thoughts of peace and not of evil. Two brothers are going at it in their bedroom, fighting with one another. Father comes into the room and immediately disciplines them. They stop fighting. And then Father talks to them about their way of trying to solve their disagreements. He turns their bedroom from a battleground into a place of peace. However, it took discipline to accomplish this. This world has been a battleground since the beginning of sin. I'm not speaking of military battles only, but also of hostility in the home and community, between family members and neighbors, teachers and students. I'm speaking of antagonism that shows itself in financial conflict, political hatred, pedagogical struggles, and in many other ways. Time and again, our Heavenly Father has had to step in to discipline the warring factions and establish peace. Oftentimes, the discipline had to be severe in order to accomplish this. Just look at the history of Israel. However, it runs much deeper than this. God created a world at peace with Him. Happiness prevailed because Adam and Eve knew that all was well between them and God. It was a time when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. It didn't last, though. Eve despised her life and reached for the forbidden fruit. She despised her husband and dragged him down with her. Adam despised God and blamed him for sin and death. Eve blamed the serpent. There was only enmity, hatred. The warfare had begun. The hostility that we see in the world around us is an outward manifestation of the inner hostility that we have toward our God. And so the Father comes into the room and disciplines us in ways that seem severe. But what is His goal? Peace. His thoughts are thoughts of peace and not of evil. He is thinking peace upon us. This He has accomplished, first by bringing His Son into the world of hostility, strife, hatred, and warfare. This world where the message of love, as revealed in the Ten Commandments, is despised and rejected. The Son of God put Himself under these very commandments so that He could live out a life of perfect love in our place. And, having done that, He took all of our hateful sins upon Himself. He suffered. He died. Then He rose from the dead, having made peace with God on our behalf. His thoughts of peace were accomplished in His own Son. And now those thoughts come down upon us. For having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there is trouble and sorrow around us, but there is peace within. God's part in the trouble and sorrow is fatherly discipline, and its goal is peace. He wants all people to forsake their bitter hatred and to be at peace with Him and thus with one another. As for you and me, being at peace with God gives us a future and a hope. Knowing that all is well between us and God, we know that all will go well for us. Our future and our hope do not lie in the things of this world, adventures and treasures, success and fame, power and pride. Our future and hope lie beyond the curtain of time. And when the curtain is lifted, we will see and know the thinking of our God and how His thoughts have brought upon us this glorious eternal day. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
This morning's chapel concludes with the singing of hymn 47, Savior, Again to Thy Dear Name We Raise, sung by the congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Mankato, Minnesota.